When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Good morning, DJ. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing well. How are y'all?
Well, I got to tell you, man, I mean, it was fun to see you score, and it was fun to see you score a touchdown. It was fun to see the two-point conversion. It just felt like something special was happening at the end of the game. I know it didn't work out in the end, but I got to tell you, 11 points in 22 seconds, I'm not sure I've seen that very often. What was that like being on the field as you suddenly got it all together and started scoring?
It was amazing. It was like we were always clicking on one accord. And, I mean, we were just going out there just playing ball and throwing our best to get back in the game.
What changed? What do you think was the difference? How were you able to come back? Because let's face it, I'm sure that you noticed thousands of fans left the building. There was a feeling of inevitability that this was not going to go well in the last minute and a half or a couple minutes, and yet you guys found a way to make it happen and force overtime. What changed?
I think we knew we just had to make some chunk plays and then go on a run, unbelievable run, to make it tied up and send this thing to overtime.
I got to tell you, it was great to see you getting the ball. And I mean, you know, not just with the touchdown and the 2-point conversion, but that catch in the middle of the field set up the 48-yard field goal. I mean, it was like, I it's 2 weeks running now. You get 7 targets and you make 7 catches.
Yeah, that catch was kind of like last year's catch when we won on a field goal, but this year it was to tie it up to send it to overtime. But yeah, 7 for 7, that means I'm doing something right, catching the ball and making some plays.
Let's talk about the 27-yarder that set up the game tying field goal. It seemed like desperation mode. What was that? What was that like? What was it said in the huddle beforehand, and how did you get open?
We ran that play in practice a few times. Most of the time, the ball didn't get to me in practice, but in that instance, you just got to be ready when your number gets called. And Caleb threw a dart over the two defenders, and I had caught it, and it was like a down situation. So I had to catch it, get down, and then set up the field goal.
So you know, I saw you say some nice things in the post game about Caleb Williams and the fact that that his confidence seems sky high. What is your takeaway over the last 2 weeks? You know, it felt like he was doing okay. He was having a good start to the season, and then during the 3-week stretch before the coordinator was fired, it seemed like he had taken a step back. And now his numbers are fantastic. He's completing like 10% more passes over the last 2 weeks. Do you notice a difference in him and in his confidence level?
Yeah. I mean, like I said, he's been playing with a lot of confidence, getting the ball out fast, and just taking what the defense gives him, and not really have to be Superman until it's really necessary.
How confusing was that defense to face? How aggressive were they coming after Caleb with the blitz, and how many adjustments did you have to make throughout the course of the game?
We didn't really have to make adjustments. We was ready for them. Whatever they sent, we had answers for. Sometimes it was tricky to see, but we just let the plays ride.
You know, I heard Jalen Johnson say last week that it's just been the most unlucky stretch of games. And you said something along those lines about the luck has got to turn in your favor at some point. What does it feel like? I mean, it's now as close as that was, as crazy as 11 points in 22 seconds were, you end up losing your fifth straight game. You know, you go back thinking about coming back from London, heading to the bye week, and that's the last win you've had. It just feels like, you know, months ago.
Yeah, it definitely feels like months ago. And we've been losing, like, on some crazy things. So look, we had the Hail Mary, then we had the block field goal. Yep. I mean, you can't even make it up. Like, some teams get that once a year, and we just getting them back to back to back. So it's just like, all right, our luck really got to turn at some point.
Got to ask you about one of the more confusing plays of the game, and it certainly was costly. Fourth and four, it appeared at one point the Bears were going to kick a field goal. On comes the field goal unit. Then no. They turn around and they go back on the field. It reduced the amount of time you had in the huddle. It turned out that Caleb revealed after the game, DJ, that he called maybe the wrong play because he didn't hear Thomas Brown correctly. How would you describe that sequence and what exactly happened?
I just seen the specialist running on. I didn't really know what was happening at that moment, but we was all telling them to get off, and then we just got a play and we had to go run it. I don't know if it was a right or wrong play, but, I mean, we still got to go execute that play.
Yeah, it was a rough one. I think Caleb said that he didn't hear what the play was because it was so late in the
seemed chaotic.
Yeah, it just seemed like that, you know, the decision as to whether you were going to kick or go for it needed to come in earlier, and it was not on time.
Yeah, like I said, I just seen them running on, but the offense was still on the field. I was just like, what are we supposed to do? Get on, get off, or just stay on?
DJ, it's a broad question. This might be hard to answer, but how does a team learn how to win?
Sure, by not beating ourselves. I don't know if we had a lot of penalties, but if we did, I would say and then we got to score faster and often so we can take leads and stay up with the defense that we have.
I think that was the first game this year that you've scored first. I mean, it's been crazy. And finally, you know, you kind of got out and you did get the first score of the game, but you know, it took some gymnastics to even get there because there were obviously issues. You guys had 7 penalties for 80 yards. Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah, to see that 80 yards could have been useful for us to win. So having penalties is a pain in the butt, but you know, we got to overcome those, and when we can, it'll help us win.
This segment with DJ Moore is sponsored by Plumbers 911. Plumbing emergency, call the plumbing professionals, available 24/7 at 1-833-PLUM-911. All right, so the last time you threw a pass, you were with the Panthers. How would you describe your experience throwing a pass into the end zone yesterday, and where did that come from?
I mean, it was fun to do. I thought I was going to be able to get room, either a catch or a PI, which I think it should have been DPI, but yeah, That's neither here nor there. I mean, it came about off of that the screenplay that we had earlier in the game where I caught the ball out the backfield, and then it was just to set up something else.
Yeah, that was, I mean, you were an old quarterback. You told us one time that you were, as a kid, you had played some quarterback, and it's one of the reasons that you don't like complaining about getting the ball, because that was awful when your friends were always telling you, give me the ball, give me the ball. How when was the last time you played quarterback in a competitive setting?
In a competitive setting?
High school?
Probably, I'm 27.
Yeah.
Probably high school.
You're only 27? Oh,
he's
my gosh.
Young man.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's crazy.
He's just entering his prime.
So, DJ, over the last couple of weeks, obviously with Thomas Brown taking over as offensive coordinator, I'm curious, have you noticed, does Matt Eberflus as a head coach pay more attention to the offense since Shane Waldron has left? Does he sit in on meetings? How does he divvy up those responsibilities? Because he's also the defensive coordinator, or at least he's a defensive play caller. Just curious, throughout the course of a week in terms of preparation, how often does the offense see Matt Eberflus in the meeting room?
He's in there pretty much every day. He was when Shane was here, and he's just continued that with Thomas. He sits in the back of the room, make sure that everything going on the right way and how the play call sheet is going to be run. And he just be in the back of the room just taking notes and watching this work.
There were so many remarkable things that happened when you guys ended up coming back there at the end. Not the least of which was the first onside kick that actually was successful with these new rules where you have to declare it and then the ball bounces off one of their players. I don't even know if it went 10 yards, but it bounced off one of their guys and you guys get the fumble recovery. What was that like? I mean, did that, and by the way, you won the coin flip into overtime too, which is pretty extraordinary. What is it like when you see the first onside kick that has worked this year in the NFL?
I mean, it was amazing because we needed it at that moment. It hit off the dude's leg, and I think Moore recovered the ball. So I was like, hey, let's go out here and try to put some points up and take this thing in overtime. And the win, the coin flip in overtime was amazing. I thought we were just going to walk down the field and go score.
Yeah.
Because it was hot. So it was like, all right, we got the upper hand right now. We hot. They're really not doing nothing to stop us, so we might as well just go down and score.
Did they change their defensive approach in overtime? Because it seemed as if on the sack that Caleb took, he held the ball for a very long time. It was a 12-yard loss. And it looked like them dropping into coverage, as many people as they dropped, was a change in they're used to coming after the quarterback and maybe with the different types of pressures. Was that a different approach for the Vikings? And because that was a key play in the game.
Yeah, I felt like they all just dropped back in the coverage. And I mean, it was tough because I forgot how many eligibles we had going downfield. So it was tough to get open because everybody was in like a zone. So I was like, oh man.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I'm kind of happy that you're playing on Thursday. I don't know if you are, and that's a quick turnaround, but you're in Detroit. You know they're having a hell of a year, and they've been good at home, but you've got them Thursday in Detroit. It's obviously Thanksgiving. What are your thoughts? You know going in how quick it's going to be, but there won't be a lot of time for post-mortem for regret because you got to start preparing the minute you get in the building today.
Yeah, going to Detroit. It should be a good game. I know we're going to give our all, and hopefully we get this win and have some turkey leg.
You know, DJ, I wanted to ask you about from the player's perspective. Fourth quarter, you guys start to make a little bit of a comeback. It's 24-10. You score a touchdown. The decision to go for two can be defended by guys who, you know, study analytics for a living, and certainly that you can defend it. From a player's perspective, were you surprised? Did you think it was the right decision? What's your thought process coming out of it? You did not make it, and obviously you made that sort of a moot point later by getting the two-point conversion, but in that moment, at that time, it seemed like there was a loss of momentum after you guys did not convert the two-point play.
Yeah, going into it, I think we knew we was going to do the two-point play both times. So it was just the fact of executing, and the first one we didn't. So that gave us a little lull, and then we came back out, scored, and then we actually got the two-point play, which was the momentum that we needed to take it into overtime.
You know, I look at where you're at, and you've had some good moments, but as you say, you've had these heartbreaking losses. You've lost on the last play of the game now three times during this five-game losing streak. Do you feel Do you feel like you're snake bit a little bit? Do you feel like, no, this is the one, we're going to win this one? How does it go down?
I think we're supposed to win every game, and until we get out there and the clock says 0-0, or whatever the score says at the end, it's either a win or a loss. And we've been on the wrong side with the L's lately. So, I mean, we're going to be due for a win. Whenever it comes, it's going to be amazing, and I just can't wait for it.
How hard is it to block out the noise? How hard is it to kind of get past the negativity? Because this is as you saw, fans are leaving early because there's not an expectation that the Bears are capable of the kind of comeback you guys did provide. And I just wondered, as you get through the weeks and the losses start to pile up, how difficult it can be to block all the outside stuff out.
It's not too hard. You just can't be on social media and be looking for what people are saying. So, I mean, that's one way to not be focused on the noise. And then also just knowing that you got another game to get ready for. The one that we just played is in the past. You can't change nothing about the outcome, but you can change the future outcome of the game that we're about to play.
Will you get a nice weekend off after this game? I mean, it seems like, you know, you lose your day off tomorrow, but, you know, you'll have an actual weekend to yourself. You guys could do something with the family.
We're going to have a nice weekend. My daughter's birthday is on Wednesday, so that's going to be a nice week for her.
So whenever you do get to sit down for Thanksgiving dinner, what are your favorites? What are your camp misses year to year?
Everything, really. I'm a one plate at a time type of guy. Can't have a lot of things touching at once.
Keep everything separate.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the way to go about it. So, DJ, Eberflus gave the schedule. You guys are going to be working on first and second down, I think, today, and then you're going to be expanding as the week goes on. Do you generally like or dislike kind of Thursday games? It makes for such a short week, but it almost gives you a little kind of mini bye in a way with the longer weekend. Do you, generally speaking, like Thursdays, or would you rather play noon on Sundays?
I like Thursdays because the whole week leading up to the game is like recovery and getting the body right and mentally getting ready for the game. You got to be a pro's pro during weeks like this. And then you got the mini bye after the game that'll really get your body right.
You had 7 touches and certainly you carried the ball as well. How does your body feel this morning?
Sore. I was out there trying not to take hits, but I got hit a few times, and body's a little sore today.
That's not unusual. It seems like you've been getting hit pretty hard all year.
Yeah, I don't know what's up with this year. I just been getting hit for real, like harder than the last couple of years.
Is that the best defense you've played this year?
I can't say that right now. We still got Detroit to play and some other teams. So, but right now, that was probably like the trickiest defense by what they do.
Great stuff, DJ. Thank you, buddy. You're always a pro's pro when it comes to coming on with us. We appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, DJ. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
And happy birthday to your daughter.
Yeah.
It's great.
Thank you. I'll tell her when she wakes up.
Yeah, don't wake her up on my account.